Please be seated. We have very special guests this morning. We have our wonderful Boy Scout troop who provided us with a wonderful breakfast. Thank you for that. Boom, good job. You're all excited to be here, I can see, and they put you in the front. So I'm going to entertain you, not. So I grew up as a I can't do that thing because of the speaker. I grew up in the city of Chicago. Anybody know where that is? That's where it's really, really cold. Really, really, really cold. I was part of a wonderful troop. We had a wonderful scoutmaster who was a devout Christian, and his son was the assistant scoutmaster. And his son was my best friend, who later became a pastor himself. So lots of good influences. I remember wonderful, wonderful experiences. But one of the most formative experiences for me, short of digging a latrine, anybody, have you dug a latrine? Do you know what a latrine is? Okay, well, there you go. Short of that wonderful experience, it was camping in the middle of winter. We used to go polar camping. I don't know, anybody, do you all know what snow looks like? No, there you go, do you? It's a little bit of snow. So we would take tents, we had tents, and we'd go out and camp in the snow, and it was build a fire sort of thing. But you know, I remember that to this day because we had to rely on each other and we had to be self-reliant. And we learned leadership skills and we learned also how to be obedient and follow our scoutmaster. When he said, don't chop down the green trees because they're not going to burn. So everybody wants to run and chop the tree and put it in the fire so you can get warm. Well, it doesn't work like that. You all know that. But anyway, so I can witness to you that I had wonderful life lessons learned as a scout, and I'm sure all of you will share that and go on in your lives from your troop. So we welcome you this morning, and we're grateful that you're here. This morning, we hear in Luke's gospel, Jesus is teaching. He's teaching the disciples after he has done amazing things. Many people now are coming to the Lord to be healed and to have the demons cast out. And we have to remember that St. Luke, our writer in the gospel this morning, is writing from the perspective of being a physician. He was a healer. And so his concern is about care and compassion of people. He's looking at it from that perspective. And throughout his entire gospel, we hear time and time again, he witnesses and tells us that the Lord himself had compassion on those who came to him, who were sick, who were in need of healing in a variety of different ways. And so Luke brings us that particular perspective in the Beatitudes this morning. Now, I had a priest and a bishop friend who used to talk about the Beatitudes as those attitudes we should be at. But you might say to yourself, if we look at the short list of the Beatitudes in Luke's gospel, what attitudes do we want to be at? Do we want to be poor, hungry, reviled, outcast? I think not. But if we contrast those Beatitudes with those in St. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew looks at them from a totally different perspective, and there's more of them. Matthew looks at the Beatitudes from a spiritual perspective. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you when men revile and persecuted you, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. He spiritualizes the Beatitudes in terms of relationship with God. Luke is very, very concrete about the Beatitudes. And so when he talks about the hungry being the poor, he says, let me just have my little cheat sheet here. He said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name out as evil on account of the Son of Man. So I ask you, so what does it mean to be blessed in these things? Because it certainly doesn't sound like a blessing to me to be hungry, to be poor, to weep and not laugh, and to be reviled by other people. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me. Anybody think that's a good thing? No, I don't think that's a good thing at all. So what Luke is trying to say is You live in the moment. You certainly don't seek to be those things, but you live in the moment. And you remember the world around you. You remember those who are less fortunate than we are, like everybody who's not here, that is in need of care and is hungry, that sort of thing. He's pointing them to be reminded of the fact that there are those in their midst that need to be cared for. He's not saying you need to be poor and to weep and to be hungry and to be reviled, but to be blessed and remembered for what you have and to share it with others. You know, what's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And think about the many blessings that God bestows upon us and how we are called to share those with others. And then the woes. Well, that's not much fun either, is it really? And we don't find the woes in Matthew's gospel and in his Beatitudes for some reason. He decides to leave them out. But Luke includes them, and he says, "Woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are now full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." And what he's saying, basically, that those who understand the good things in life as rewards and rely and satisfy on them to find joy will be disappointed. They will be disappointed because they have, in this time and in this space, they have enjoyed those things. Now, you got to be real careful with this. It doesn't mean because you're rich you're going to, you know, hell or anything like that. It's not about that. But when you have, you give so that others have. And when indeed you have, when others are hungry, you offer and share as well. I remember one time we lived in upstate New York, lived in a place called Schenectady. It's the home of GE. Maybe some of you heard of it. Here we go. Boom. And I used to cycle around the city, and I cycled the hills for a little more exercise. And one of the places that I cycled was rather poor and crime-ridden place, but it had wonderful hills. And so I had gone shopping and bought some steak that my wife and I were going to share for dinner. And as I was cycling up the hill thinking about the yummy, juicy steak that I was going to go sink my chops into, I saw a caravan of buggies, as I call them, you know, the strollers, the people pushing the strollers down the street. And it was dinner time, and they were feeding their kids French fries from McDonald's and cans of soda and popcorn. And that struck my heart. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I'm going to go home and enjoy this wonderful meal, and these folks are in this particular state. And it reminded me of the fact that we should be always mindful of, at least, if not responsive to, the needs of others. Just a small, tiny little reminder. And then, of course, you know, don't we all want to laugh and be happy and make merry? You know, but what does Old Testament say? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you what? You die. That's right. But there's nothing wrong with weeping and laughing. What is wrong to look at the world with what I would say are frivolous eyes, to look at the world and not see the brokenness, to look at the world and not see poverty, to look at the world and not see homelessness, to look at the world and not see hunger, to look at the world and not see sin and brokenness, and then to be frivolous with that vision and not respond to it with the gift of love that our Lord teaches us. And don't we all want to feel important? Yes. We all want to be, you know, puffed up. You know, Kurt's going to be an Eagle Scout very soon. I'm sure he's going to be all like rah-rah cool, and that's a wonderful thing, and I applaud you for that, because I never got that far. I was a Life Scout. However, my son made Eagle Scout, and you bet I was rah-rah, I was proud. Boom, that was a good thing. And that's okay. That's a wonderful accomplishment in life, and I'm not picking on you. I'm just making the point. We all want to be puffed up. We all want people to say good things about us, don't we? We all want to feel like we're put up on the pedestal. But you know what God says? God says, that's fine. You know, you do that. Let people puff you up. But remember from where you came. You came from me, and you came from me alone, because I alone can give the gift of life. And to me, you will return. And everything else in the middle, well, that's just the ride, is it not? But it's the way that we live our lives. It's the way we give over. So when somebody says, you know, Kurt, you're doing a great job, you say, I did a good job because my parents helped me. I did a good job because my troop helped me. I did a good job because I have wonderful friends. You pass it along. You know, what do they call it? Living it forward. But you live it forward, not to yourself, any of me, but to the greater glory of Almighty God. You do it to the greater glory of Almighty God. You know, Paul said, I suffer all things for the sake of Christ, that I might glorify him. And that's what it means, you know, to pass it along and to give it forward. So, the short and long of it, of the Beatitudes, is that those who have should give, and those who don't should receive, and we should all give to the greater glory of God, that we promote and that we grow his kingdom always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.